Mark, what are you doing for the EPA?
Well, in my normal job, I'm a section chief. I manage a team of emergency responders. But in this case, I've been put in the position of deputy incident commander for the Kalamazoo River oil spill. And my job is to assist our incident commander in running the show out here.
Where are you based out of?
I'm based out of Cleveland, Ohio.
All right. So you've been hanging around Michigan for a while now.
Yeah. We haven't gotten a lot of sleep, but things are starting to normalize a little bit down here. We still have a critical situation, but the crisis phase of this is over, and now we're cleaning up the mess.
All right. Tell me about a typical day for you from start to end on the job.
Well, I'll tell you about my day, but before I do that, I'll tell you about our cleanup crew's day, because they're the ones sweating and doing the hard work out here. These guys show up at their respective staging location, in other words, the area they're required to report to, and get started on their work day. And these are spread out over the 30 to 35 miles of impacted waterway. So they report about 6 in the morning. Go through their operational briefing, and during that time, they get their safety downloads. They get their instructions for work for the day, and the majority of the work now is happening on the Kalamazoo River. So they spend the majority of their days on the water, cleaning up oiled wetlands, oiled shorelines, moving our containment devices, our oil booms and absorbent booms around the river to capture all the oil that's still out there. And take a break for lunch and get back at it in the afternoon, and they're usually done about 6:30 in the evening, do another safety download at the end of the day, and then they're off. So for those guys, it's about a 13-hour workday. For those of us over here in the command post, we're usually in the command post getting set up for the day about 7:30 in the morning, and we usually get back to our hotels about 10 o'clock at night.
Now, I think it's quite obvious on how the cleanup process is done with water that's on the surface, but how do you clean up the shoreline and water that sticks to the bottom of the river?
Well, we haven't seen too much sinking oil in this particular situation, so we're not seeing oil on the river bottom. What we are seeing is small suspended particles of oil in the water column itself. So to battle that, we set up what we call containment snares in the water. They look like pom-poms almost. They're snare booms that get placed in baskets. And the baskets get placed in across the river, across the entire width of the river, in shallow parts, because the Kalamazoo is a very shallow river. And there's some places where it's less than 2 feet tall or 2 feet deep. So we place these baskets in from bottom to top of the water column, place these snare booms inside the baskets, and they collect these small oil particles. So that's how we deal with that. On the river shore itself, what we do is we do a number of different techniques. Some areas we just absorb the oil with these absorbent materials, which leaves a little bit of residual that usually burns off naturally from the sun. Some areas where it's impacted soil, we either scrape it with heavy equipment if we can access it, or we remove it by hand, literally using shovels or other types of material to do. We try to be as little intrusive as we can, because we don't want to cause more damage from the cleanup that the oil already caused from the spill. We actually remove a lot of the weeds and vegetation that are contaminated and stage those and ship them off-site for their final resting place. And finally, we look at alternatives for remediation. Sometimes we use low-pressure washing. Sometimes we use some compounds that will actually break up the oil and allow us to collect it on the water surface yet again. We haven't done that type of activity yet. We're very sensitive, especially on this river, for putting anything into the water column other than what's already there.
What is done with that material? Is it just buried in the ground, the soiled material, whether it's dirt or whether it's those pom-poms that have soaked up that oil?
The majority of this material is being shipped off to a hazardous waste landfill. The debris that I talked about is going to a hazardous waste landfill in Belleville, Michigan, called the EQ Company. It's what we call Subtitle C, or a hazardous waste landfill. And the soil, the contaminated soil, which is we're up over 8,500 cubic yards, probably about 10,000 tons of soil. is getting shipped off to another hazardous waste landfill in Oregon, Ohio, which is near Toledo, called EnviroSafe. So yes, they eventually get buried. A lot of times we can bioremediate oil spill soils like this. Unfortunately, with this material, the benzene content is very high, so it gets classified as a hazardous waste, so it can't go to these non-hazardous bioremediation facilities.
We're talking with Mark Durnal, who is with the EPA, and he's part of the team that's heading up the cleaning efforts for the oil spill on the Kalamazoo River, in which more than 1 million gallons of crude spilled into the river. The last time we talked, you told me that there was pretty much no chance that any of this oil could get in the Great Lakes. You standing by that statement?
Well, knowing that our oil is retreating, in other words, the leading edge of this stuff was in Morrow Lake, which is about 60 miles away by the river from Lake Michigan. We're seeing very little oil sheen down that way anymore. It's really the majority of the spill now is up on the upstream side of Battle Creek. So our high impact areas are now cut in half. We still say it's an impact zone of over 30 miles, but realistically, the heavy effort is now in about a 15-mile stretch of the Kalamazoo River. So yeah, we definitely stand behind the statement that the Great Lakes are not threatened by this. As a matter of fact, just downstream of Morrow Lake, the company, Enbridge, who had the pipeline release in the state, have all collected samples downstream, and we've seen no evidence of oil-related compounds in the water column.
So how many miles of river were affected by the spill?
The exact number, I believe, is on the Kalamazoo is 34. The bottom 4 miles, it was lightly impacted. We just saw sheen on water, which is down, again, in the Morrow Lake area near Kalamazoo. So the actual heavy contamination, we estimate roughly 30 miles of river. And again, most of that's cleaned up real nicely on the downstream side of Battle Creek. Upstream, it's going to be a long effort. The flood plains in many areas are heavily contaminated. We've got crews out there just shoveling out oil as we speak. North of even further upstream, closer to Marshall, the wetlands, the shorelines, the stream banks are again heavily impacted, and it's going to take a yeoman's effort to clean that up over the next month.
And Mark, the last time we talked, you told me you hadn't seen a lot of dead fish, which was a good thing. Is that still the case?
It is. That's kind of been a blessing in disguise in this whole situation, is that we haven't seen dead fish, so we know that the aquatic impacts probably aren't as severe as as they could have been. However, we did have a unintentional secondary disturbance of the ecosystem. We, in accordance with the state, were working with Lake Allegan to lower their water level. And at one point, the water level got low enough where we stranded some fish. So we did have a minor fish kill due to some of our response efforts, but it had nothing to do with the actual oil. So we did lose some fish up in Lake Allegan. It wasn't a large fish kill, but nonetheless, it was a secondary consequence of the situation.
Has Enbridge done everything that they can do to assist you, whether it's funding, whether it's giving you all the tools that you need?
We've pushed them hard, we've pushed them hard from day one, and they've responded every time we've pushed. So yes, they've thrown the house at this thing. They've responded with every resource that they felt was necessary to bring to this site, and they've actually brought additional resources that EPA felt and our Unified Command partners felt were necessary to deal with this. So far, they've been taking responsibility for this.
I know that the burst pipeline was removed. Has it been replaced, and has the oil flow resumed?
It has been replaced. However, no, the oil flow has not resumed. Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, the organization that regulates pipeline safety, has not given Enbridge the green light yet. They haven't approved their work plan to restart that pipeline. So right now that the pipeline sits there, it sits there repaired, but no oil is flowing through it as of yet.
And then finally, before we let you go, Mark, rough estimate on how long you folks will be up here with the cleanup?
You're going to be seeing us around for a long time. I'm guessing that that we're going to be in heavy effort here. We have over 1,500 people on the job now. And I believe that level of effort is going to continue for at least the next 4 to 6 weeks. Once the bulk of the oil gets removed from the floodplains in the Kalamazoo River, then you'll probably see that number start to drop. And over time, it'll drop substantially. And we'll get into a monitoring phase, which will probably last a good year or so. And so you're going to see some form of EPA, Michigan Department of Natural Resources and Environment, and local response effort here for at least a year.
Well, Mark, you could become a resident and end up paying taxes in Michigan. How about that?
Michigan's a beautiful state, so I can think of worse places to be.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, Tony.